Chapter 10. The howling continues, and Thomas trembles with fright, unsure of what he should do next. Growing louder and louder, the wolves' howls are accompanied by yips, whines, and snarling as the pack draws nearer. Not wanting to be so high up, he slowly climbs down a few limbs. Sounding as if the pack is right beneath him, Thomas shifts his position, trying to see the ground through the thick limbs, branches, and leaves, but isn't able to. Continuing to slowly climb down, he is no more than 50 feet above the ground, when he catches a fleeting glance of a hairy black creature run by the trunk of the tree. Freezing up again, Thomas becomes deathly scared. Through his small window of a view of the forest floor, Thomas sees multiple beasts of various shades of grey pass by. Seeming to circle the tree, the wolves have Thomas trapped and feeling hopeless. Suddenly he sees some movement below him in the tree next to his. Then he sees Troy looking up and smiling at Thomas. With uncertainty of the situation, Thomas climbs a few limbs back up the tree, away from Troy. Quickly catching up to Thomas, Troy swings up and lands on the same limb that the prince is on. Cowering with fear, Thomas leans away from him. "It's okay," Troy says, trying to comfort Thomas. Feeling confused, Thomas replies, "I thought you left me to find my own way." Troy scoffs a little and says, "Phew, I just had to see how you would do on your own." Thomas says nothing and looks back down to the overly excited wolves below. "Yes, they're here for you," Troy says, joining Thomas in looking down to the circling beasts. Rarely, if ever, does a new scent show up in these mountains. When it does, the pack is there to investigate. You are that new scent. And right now, you're a potential meal. Troy smirks, relaying the information to Thomas. "Ah!" Thomas gasps, visibly upset, with his face twisted with terror. "They are going to haunt you until they know that you belong here," Troy says with seriousness about him. Forgetting to breathe for a moment too long, Thomas exhales a full lung of air that he was holding. Taking short, shallow breaths, the prince begins to feel anxious and out of control. "Breathe deep and slow," says Troy in a comforting tone of voice, patting Thomas on the back lightly. "Get your flute," Troy says as he opens up his own pack and takes out his flute. Thomas takes a deep breath and pulls out his musical instrument as well. "Listen and play this song with me," Troy instructs, and he begins to play his song. Starting at a quick, higher note, Troy drops down to a lower note, holding it longer than he did the first one. He does the same thing again, but wiggles his finger to make the notes sound like ripples and waves. Thomas does his best to play his haunting wolf howl-sounding music, along with Troy's talented rendition. Chills and bumps crash over Thomas as he again experiences the control he felt just before the wolves showed up. The music washes the fear away from him, even as the wolf pack below them join in the spooky symphony. When Troy finishes, Thomas sustains his well-played note a few extra counts before releasing it. The forest falls silent, and Thomas pulls the flute away from his mouth. The wind even seems to completely die down, before an intense gust blasts Thomas, sending him reeling and grabbing for branches to steady himself. Birds explode from the trees by the hundreds all around them. Thomas falls down to his knees and covers his head, from being startled so badly as dozens of squirrels race across the forest trees and the wolves erupt with heart-stopping howls.
"Ah!"
Thomas lets out a terror-filled shriek from the unnatural event unfolding before him as he crouches down and curls up in a ball. After a few deafening whirlwind moments, the forest falls silent once more, and the wolf pack yips, whines and snarls as they run back in the direction from which they came. Slow to stand up, he skeptically looks at Troy. "We can go now, we're almost there," Troy exclaims as he starts to climb down the tree. Still shocked and dazed, Thomas grabs his bag and slowly climbs down after Troy. The late afternoon sun sends long shadows through the forest as Thomas nervously looks around for danger. Realizing that he doesn't know Troy very well still, Thomas keeps his distance and remains uncertain of him. Controlling his breathing, Thomas calmly approaches the bottom of the tree. Reaching the ground well ahead of Thomas, Troy lands smoothly and rolls with precision, avoiding any injury. Quickening his pace, Thomas makes it down to the bottom limbs of the tree. About 6 feet off of the ground, Thomas climbs down farther than Troy did, for an easier drop to the forest floor. Dangling from the limb, he lets go and falls to his feet, rolling to the side to help absorb the impact. Quickly jumping up, Thomas turns to Troy and yells, "Why did you leave me?" Taking a step back, Troy replies, "I was following close behind you the whole time. I was testing you, and you passed." Thomas relaxes his face and begins to calm down. "I was scared, and I'm still scared. Those wolves were hunting me," Thomas exclaims, voicing his concerns. "Not were hunting you, but are hunting you," Troy declares. "What do you mean? Why did they leave if they're still hunting me?" Thomas asks. "Because they know me. They left, but you still have to prove to them that you belong here," Troy explains. Another wave of anxiousness flows over Thomas as he looks around for any signs of danger. "You'll be fine for a while, so let's keep moving," Troy declares, and he walks off into the forest, away from the clearing of wildflowers. Thomas sighs and follows after Troy, continuing to head south down the canyon, happy to be moving in the opposite direction of the wolf pack. A shiver races up Thomas's spine just thinking about the beasts. Having walked all day, the sun hangs low in the early evening sky as herds of deer pass nearby. "Have you ever hunted before?" Troy asks Thomas, stopping to watch the herd. "I was going to go on my first hunt with my father for my 7th birthday," Thomas says glumly, hanging his head low. "Have you ever shot an arrow from a bow?" Troy questions. "My whole life," the prince says confidently. After another minute of watching the deer, Troy begins walking again. Suddenly, Troy jumps up and grabs a limb on a tree. Quickly pulling himself up a few limbs, he perches like a bird on his feet and unties a blanket rolled up around something that was hidden in the leaves. Tying the rope around the rolled-up blanket, Troy lowers it carefully. As the rolled blanket gets lower, Thomas sees that a bow and quiver of arrows are inside. Swinging down, Troy lands next to Thomas and the blanket. Grabbing it, Troy unties the blanket, unrolls it, and takes out the bow. Grabbing the string, he ties it to the bow, making it ready to fire. "Shooting between the trees is difficult, but it's unavoidable here," Troy says while he loads an arrow. Thomas watches close as Troy assembles the weapon, readies it to be fired, and hands it to the prince. Taking the bow and arrow in his hands, Thomas closely inspects it. Placing the feathered end at the string, Thomas tries to draw back the arrow, but only makes it about halfway. Releasing the arrow, it flies 20 feet, straight into the tree Thomas aimed at. "Well done," says Troy, cheering for Thomas. Handing Troy the bow, Thomas watches him take an arrow from his quiver, ready it on the string, and stealthily stalk into the forest. Motioning for Thomas to follow behind, Troy meticulously takes every step to make as little noise as possible. Careful to not even breathe too loud, Thomas tries to step in Troy's footprints, being equally as quiet. They silently slip through the forest for a half an hour, staying low and close to the trees. Coming to a thick bush, Troy stops and puts his hand up, signalling for Thomas to stop as well. Appearing to be listening for something, Troy sits still, barely breathing. Crouching by Troy, Thomas waits for their next move. Taking a deep breath, Troy slowly draws his arrow back and quietly parts the bush. In a small meadow, a herd of deer are grazing on the long grass. Taking another deep breath, Troy holds it in his lungs and he steadies the bow and releases the arrow. It whizzes through the meadow and pierces a buck in its chest. The buck runs toward the thick cover of the forest but collapses before he makes it to the trees. The rest of the herd disappears into the forest as Troy walks out into the meadow, towards his harvest. Eager to see the deer, Thomas walks alongside Troy. The sun has sunk behind the western mountain peak, leaving a dazzling sunset beaming up into the sky. The clouds that float by in the air are a pinkish-orange colour, from the sun's rays reflecting off them. Walking up to the deer, Troy inspects the animal to make sure that it is dead. A few seconds later, he takes a rope from his pack, ties it to the deer's hooves and throws the other end over the limb of a tree. After hoisting the deer up and tying off the rope, Troy begins to field dress his kill, cutting it open and letting the innards fall to the ground. Feeling a little squeamish, Thomas looks on in amazement at the demonstration. With the discarded remnants out of the way, Thomas helps Troy lower the deer down, placing it on a cleaner piece of the ground. Again, grabbing his pack, he pulls out a pouch and unties the top of it. Troy pours some of its contents into his hand, and Thomas recognizes it as salt. Troy takes a handful of salt and packs it inside the deer. "Grab some salt," Troy says, pointing to the pouch. Thomas does and walks it over to the deer. "Pour some in your hand and sprinkle it right here," Troy says, pointing to a section of the deer. Thomas obeys the command, pouring salt into his hand and packing it into the animal. The smell of the entrails is pungent and putrid in the young prince's nose, but he keeps on working, grabbing handfuls of salt and packing it where Troy instructs him to. Troy stands up, unties the deer, lowers it and starts to take the rope off of its hooves. "Grab the bow and quiver and roll them up in the blanket," Troy says, giving Thomas another task. Feeling useful and excited, Thomas does as he is told. Struggling at first to get the blanket rolling tightly around the bow, Thomas finally completes his task. Taking another blanket out of his pack, Troy tightly wraps the deer in it, picks it up and throws it over his shoulder. Without saying a word, he grabs his bag and tosses it to Thomas. The bag thuds into Thomas and knocks him back a step. Quickly putting it on, he runs to catch up with Troy. Into the forest, Troy follows a game trail that the deer most likely created. The trees instantly become thick as they leave the meadow. Troy moves a little slower than he typically does from carrying the weight of the deer. Thomas also moves slower from carrying Troy's pack, struggling to keep up with his mentor. Deeper into the forest, Troy stops, puts the deer down and begins gathering kindling for a fire. Thomas sheds Troy's pack with great relief. Feeling much lighter on his feet now that he is rid of the heavy pack, Thomas bounds enthusiastically over to Troy, helping him gather wood for a fire. After they gathered enough material for the fire, Troy takes out his fire rod and begins scraping his dagger along it, shooting sparks at the fluffy wood pulp. Several sparks shoot into the pile when it suddenly erupts into a small flame. Bending low, Troy blows on the fire, stoking the flame larger and larger. Strategically, he adds slightly bigger pieces of wood on top of each other, creating a well-structured burn pile. The flames increase in size as they burn through the wood. With the fire no longer in danger of going out, Troy walks over to the deer. Taking his dagger, Troy begins to cut strips of meat from the deer. Laying the strips of meat on rocks, Troy whittles away at the deer with precision. He then picks up a big rock and walks it over to the fire. Placing the stone where hot coals will be, Troy turns to pick up a few strips of meat and places them on the rock in the flames. The smell is so delicious to Thomas's famished senses as the aroma wafts through the air. Watching the meat cook in the fire, Thomas stares at the flames lapping up around tonight's dinner. Troy flips the meat on its other side to cook it evenly. Feeling thirsty, Thomas grabs his pack and takes out his water pouch. Uncorking it, he drains the pouch dry. Feeling satisfied from the water, Thomas sits back and relaxes. "This is about done," says Troy, flipping a strip of meat one more time, waiting a couple of seconds and then removing it from the fire with his dagger. Placing the meat on a rock that isn't in the fire, Troy says, "Careful, it's hot." Pouncing on his supper, Thomas burns his finger a little on the meat. "Ow!" he yells, dropping the food back on the rock.
"I told you to be careful,"
Troy exclaims with a chuckle. Trying to cool the meat off quicker, Thomas blows on it before trying to pick it up again. Not quite as hot as it was a few moments ago, Thomas picks up his dinner, juggling it between his hands. Taking a small bite, he blows air through his mouth, trying to cool the hot food. Chewing it up, Thomas swallows his bite and repeats the process. "Chew your food very well," Troy instructs Thomas. Slowing down a bit, Thomas chews his bites a few times extra to appease Troy. Then, Troy takes a bite, sits back and chews for a minute or more before swallowing. They sit around the fire in silence while Thomas devours his food and Troy calmly eats his. Feeling too full and eating too fast, Thomas doesn't eat his last couple of bites and puts it down on the rock.
"That's why you take your time when you eat and chew your food adequately," Troy tutors Thomas.
Slumping back against a tree, Thomas rests his hand on his bloated belly and takes deep breaths. Troy chews his last piece of meat and throws more strips on the cooking rock.
Letting his food digest, Thomas feels exhausted from his stressful day. Still on edge from the wolves, he frequently glances around, staying on alert in case danger should arise. Once the last strip of meat is cooked, Troy takes it out of the fire and places it on the cooling rock. He then throws the rest of the slab of meat on the cooking rocks. Sitting back, Troy lets out a huge burp, and both he and Thomas erupt with laughter. With the big slab of meat cooked sufficiently, Troy takes it off of the fire and places it on a bed of rocks to cool. Standing up, Troy then takes a stick and pokes the coals, separating them. "If you're thirsty, there's a spring just over that hill," Troy says, pointing Thomas in the correct direction. "While you're there, fill up this pail with water and bring it back to me," Troy adds with a wink. Thomas rolls his eyes jokingly with a smirk on his face, picks up the bucket and begins walking toward the hill. The twilight of late evening surrounds the prince while he walks up the hill. Slipping a few times, he eventually makes it to the top. Looking down to the bottom of the other side of the hill, Thomas sees an enchanting oasis. Crystal clear water sits smooth like glass, with a few large boulders in the centre of the spring. With great excitement, Thomas hustles down the hill, eager to taste the perfect-looking water. Gaining too much speed carrying the bucket, Thomas struggles to slow himself down, but manages to do so in time, stopping himself before running right into the water. Sliding into a stop right at the shoreline of the spring, Thomas sends a single rock into the water, causing ripples to speed across the still surface. Just as he is bending down to fill the pail with water, Troy grabs Thomas, startling him, and whispers,
"Don't make a sound. Put on this cloak and hide behind these bushes now."
Without hesitation, Thomas does what he is told and hides. Quickly after, the call of a bird sings out into the late evening air. Troy quietly begins stalking through the thick trees,